Okay, and how do you avoid the first date? So this is actually a listener that sent me this question. How do you avoid a first date to sound like a job interview?
Don't ask boring questions about where you live, where you work, and things like that. Just really think about passions and things you have to look forward to in the future. What make you interested in life? What are your dreams? How do you get on with your family? Think about happy, positive things and things, and just make it into as much fun as you can. For example, there's a question there that says, would you rather lose an arm or would you rather lose a leg? So things like that, little things to get them started. And these have had great success.
I love those random questions. I do think they're really good. Do you have another one? Okay, just give us two more questions.
Just ask them if they've ever seen a ghost. That's a funny thing to say as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I love that.
That's a good one.
I love that.
Or ask them if they could go anywhere in the world tomorrow, where would they go? Something like that. It doesn't matter.
Welcome back. We are on today with my guest James Priest on the 204 This Shit podcast. I'm your host, Angie Sorensen. Look, I hope you had an amazing holiday season. I hope you all came out of 2021 in one piece and tackling in 2022 like the winner that I know you are. Okay, I can't do this kind of pep talks. I'm sorry. Okay, listen, I just hope you're good. Okay, I hope you're good. Now it's 2022. Let's see what happens. Let's see what they throw at us. But either way, listen, you're here. It's still you. You're still here in one piece, okay? So I want to say, again, a really, really big thank you for all your support last year, for liking the show, for following the show, subscribing to it, and just sharing it with your friend. It has really, you know, the audience has expanded and I have really you to thank. So I just want to give you a big, big thank you. And if you haven't yet, and then you're listening to this and you feel like a friend could make use of this, and or do you want to share something that you're listening to, don't forget to share it with your friend. You can do a screenshot, share it on your social media, or send it into a private message on your WhatsApp or your text, whatever you're using to communicate with your friends. When you do that, it just really, really helps. You know, it gives this show a lot of opportunities, and this, you know, I couldn't do this without you. So, you know, if you want to give a 5-star rating, a review on it, Apple Podcasts, you can still do that. On Spotify, now you can also rate the show. It's not really, they haven't made this really user-friendly how you rate the show, okay? But there's like a little, 3 little buttons on next to the name of the show. You click on it and then you click rate it. You give it a 5-star. That's it. And you give it a 5-star. So that's how it goes. But it's not as user-friendly. And, you know, you can follow for free on Apple Podcasts, because now subscribing is a different term now for them. So, but if you follow, it's free. You follow on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify, Radio FM, Amazon Music, wherever you are listening to it right now. If you follow it, it really helps the show get in front of more listeners. And it helps your girl, Angie, to keep doing this. Okay, so Today we have James, a professional dating coach who's based in London. And with us, he shares his insight on how to lift your online profile to attract better matches. Not more, just better. And for that, he basically just, we're using mine as an example. And he's telling us like everything I'm doing wrong. Okay. I am a bit resistant to him at first. I'm like, you know me. So, and then I'm like, oh, he actually does have a good point. So, James is really good. And with him, we go over, so not only do we go over the online profile, how you can lift it up, and also how to avoid typical online dating traps. We also have a quick fiery round of yes, no answers to some more typical dating questions. And we all have some great conversation starters that he gives us on for your first date. So your first date doesn't sound like a job interview. So also on that episode, I got to tell you, because both James and I were sick when we were recording this. Okay, so it still turned out good, okay? So that when we were both sick, I was just getting sick. This was recorded at the end of November when I got really sick for like 10 days. This was like my day 2 of it. I didn't realize you know when you're not really sure how shit you really feel yet? Well, that was me. And he just came out of being sick. So we met at like a weird intersection. But I think we made it work. And look, he has some great, great insights. I really want you to listen to it. So without further ado, please help me give a big, warm welcome to James. Let's begin. Welcome, James.
How you doing?
I'm really good. Well, just like you. Well, no, not like you, because you had a bit of a more serious situation, but I've got a bit of a cold and sore throat, so I may sound a bit groggy, but I want to say thank you so much for joining me today. I am really excited to have you on. I went on to your show as well. I went on to your podcast and I really enjoyed the things that you said. And I was like, oh, I need to have you on. And I know we're probably going to have a bit of a, maybe you won't see the same thing eye to eye, the things eye to eye, but I think it's going to make for a very good conversation. I always like to hear other people's point of views. So today we're going to talk about online dating. We're going to talk about online dating and the general mishaps, you know, that happens between men and men. In the very beginning of
men and women.
Men and women. What did I say?
Men and men.
Oh, well, we do talk about that too, but not today. We've got to keep it into like the very narrow, just men and women, heterosexual, just to keep it really simple. But, you know, all the mishaps that happen between the two genders at the very beginning of what we normally hope would be a courtship, but, you know, many disappointments do ensue instead. So before we dive in, James, please introduce yourself, where you live and what you do.
Yes, well, I'm delighted to be here. I'm James Priest. I'm the UK's number one dating coach. I help busy single professionals navigate the very difficult path of finding love. I live in London and I help people all around the world.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, what's your status? Because obviously you're this dating, very famous dating coach. So what's your status?
I've been married for 10 years now and haven't been single for about 14 years.
Okay. So was there online dating already there before you got hitched?
Online dating's been there since I was younger. In fact, my university was one of the first ones to get the internet. And there was a very primitive form of online dating there with chat rooms. So I was one of the first to ever get to do this. So I'm very blessed.
Okay. So yeah, you're very familiar with it then. So I do want to ask you, what got you into this line of work?
It was a happy accident because I used to be an actor and acting was great, but it didn't always pay very much money. And by chance, one day, a good friend of mine, she was working at a massive singles event in London. 1,000 people were there. And she said, come on, James, come and put on the T-shirt, pretend that you're working with me. So I put on the T-shirt and I found that absolutely it blew my mind. I was able to use all my skills to help people, all my confidence, body language, flirting and things like that. And I left it and thought, this is amazing. So I started working for lots of different companies as their dating host. And it grew from there. I feel very, very blessed to do this job, particularly over the last 18 months, that I have a job that helps people and connects them, because my job is so much fun 99% of the time. I get to help people realise the one thing they want in life, which is an ideal partner, and help them realise their own value as well.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's important. I think that's one of the biggest... Actually, that's actually a question I wanted to ask you. But I do actually feel that that's actually one of the biggest thing that gets people into situations that are not necessarily good for them, because they just don't feel like they may not be aware that there is better, that they can deserve better treatment. There is people who actually do want to be around them and so on and so forth. And obviously that mixed with all the stupid dumbass Hollywood movies and the stupid glossy social media makes you think that, you know, it's just like everything is, you know, hunky-dory and very much that disempowerment of, like, you know, like as if like the man is the plan and, you know, you just have to just wait for him to rescue you. And there's all kinds of, like, you know, messages out there that's like so wrong, in my opinion. So but I will ask you, before we go into, because what we're going to do today, that you're going to actually, I send you screenshots weeks and weeks ago about my Hinge profile, because you're going to do like a review of it and just like tell me what I'm doing wrong. So, but before we go down, maybe we should warm this up a little bit, and maybe I may just actually just ask you a few questions first. And so my first one is, like, what are some of, like, the biggest online dating faux pas, in your opinion?
The biggest one is probably making no effort whatsoever. Most people do it, and they upload the first pictures they've got on their phone, which is usually them as selfies or them on a drunken night out. Because people don't go around taking pictures for the purpose of putting them on online dating sites or dating apps, do they? So I understand this. But then they do it and they write up half-assed profiles where they write just one line or two lines and wonder why no one is reading it thinking, do I connect with this person?
Okay, so I'm just stepping out of the episode for a minute. If you like what I'm doing and you want to have your own podcast too, I actually teach the stuff. And I absolutely love doing it because podcasting has been such an incredible experience for me. My favorite parts have been being able to just be myself, connecting with fascinating guests from all walks of life, connecting with you as well, you know, engaging with you. It has been really an amazing experience. And so I am beyond excited to be able to help you create your own mark in the world through podcasting by showing you how to do it. So to get the details on how to sign up, just go to learnpodcasting.online. I will add the link in the show notes and I really hope to see you there. So now back onto the episode.
So that's the biggest mistake, is making no effort.
Yeah.
Poor quality pictures, low profile, really boring messages. You're probably sick of the whole hi, how are you message, aren't you?
Oh my God. I don't even like texting. So online dating is like,
It is.
I'm terrible. But also, like, and I know this is something that we disagree on, I think, James, if I remember correctly, but I do feel like that online dating is mainly made for men. In the sense that, you know, you have the whole, it's almost like very easy for men to just approach this. There's no like barrier of entry, if that makes sense, you know. And I'm trying to think about, you know, back in the days when, you know, you had like the father, the brothers, the cousins, the village who were there to protect you a little bit. And I know this sounds like a bit odd, like I'm going back in time, but effectively now, you know, we're women, we're earning our own money, we're living by ourselves, you know, most likely, and we live in a big city, and all these men just have like that quick access to us. The reason I'm saying that is that's also why I'm not sort of like out there messaging them first. I'm not like, I'm waiting to see a little bit, like, now you come to me, because you need to have a barrier of entry. You can't just feel that I'm just there and it's that safety feel that I have. Mm. And I know you think differently about messaging.
Well, I do, because you're saying that, but the reality is on most of these sites, like, for example, Tinder has 9 men for every woman on there. Bumble has 8 men for every woman. So you're saying that, but there's no barrier for the women either. So the difference is that everyone goes on there and expects amazing, crazy results by doing nothing. So the men don't get many responses in general because the competition is so high. So they don't bother making much effort with their profile, their messages. And the women are so picky and so selective because they've got the choice on there. So if you don't make the choice, what's going to happen, you're going to be overwhelmed with all the wrong sort of people that are contacting you. Because, yes, it's like going into a bar and anyone can come up to you. They have the right to do that, absolutely. But if you don't go up to the guy that you like the look of, then somebody else will. 2 other proactive ladies in that bar will go and speak to that guy, never get a look in because you're so busy deleting and being shocked by the guys that have contacted you. And I always use the job analogy for this. Imagine you're going to apply for a job. You don't just write your CV and then polish it for a certain job and then send it out to places that you want to go to. But if you do that, that's the right attitude. If you just sit back and wait for every job in the world to come to you, you end up going to a job as a clown or a job at McDonald's or a job in a library. It's just a waste of your time. You have to be proactive.
Well, I think me being on there is proactive. But I think, but also I know you mentioned Tinder and Bumble, like those two things, I don't even approach those apps. Like I mean, I tried them a while back and it's just like, honestly, my experience is that there's a lot of matches, but no messages. So yeah. I think women are getting some of the same experience than the men on those. But for me, like, so I'm on Hinge. I use Hinge. I think that's been great. I actually meet really nice people on there. There's one actually if you listen to this, David, hello. You know, we've become friends, you know, we've become friends. It was a platonic, you know, it didn't hit it off, but we stayed in contact. And, you know, that we met not long ago. And he told me about this, you know, this person that he's seeing and dating, you know. So you do actually meet, you know, and I did meet, you know, I had a boyfriend from that. So they are good quality, but yeah, I feel maybe it's a personality thing that maybe some of us get a bit like really fatigued easily with the screens and the app. And it feels you're not really pot committed, are you? Because like you said, these are just randoms. They're just faces. And if you don't get a bit of personality in the exchange, it dies off really quickly.
I agree with you. But I think Hinge is definitely the best dating app out there. And it's the one I recommend to all my clients.
It's not overcrowded.
It's not overcrowded. Even today, I was on Hinge with a client this morning.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get many matches because he's quite new to this. But suddenly he's getting inundated now on Hinge, which is great.
Oh, look at that.
So he's going out on dates and he's never been on dates before. And I'm really happy for him.
Aww.
So he comes to me every 2 weeks and we have a session and I'm really pleased. So Hinge is great. The reason Hinge is good, it's about conversation starters. It's about having images and little bubbles of speech on there that start conversations. That's what it's about. And you'll see where you went wrong with that very shortly.
Oh, yeah, please, yeah, go on.
Well, we're doing that.
Yeah.
It is, and that's why I like it. It encourages real conversations.
Yeah.
Rather than on Tinder, all you can search on is age and location. On Hinge, you can be more specific. You can put in certain areas, certain types of people that you want, and it's much more specific, and therefore you're going to have less time wasting.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, to be fair, on that Hinge profile that I sent you, I haven't changed it either since, because I haven't actually gone in. But I used to write more, especially in the, like, how I'll fall for you. But actually, should we do that? Do you want to, like, review my Hinge profile? Tell me all the things that I'm doing wrong.
Let me just do this for you.
Give us a good telling off, and then and let's see. Yeah, so maybe you need to actually describe as well, because obviously it's an audio channel. So
but
just
I'll
as a recap, I've sent screenshots to James of my Hinge dating profile, and he's going to give a review, because that's one of the things that he's quite known for, is to be able to sort of, like, what do you call it, pimp up the profile to make it a bit more higher conversion rates.
Exactly. We're going to do this. Okay. Now, let me just start by saying, obviously, you are quite photogenic, and that's nice. It works in your favour. However, there's a lot we could do differently here. Right?
Okay, go on.
Now, your first picture you got is you. It appears to be in your studio or in your kitchen. I'm not really sure what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's a selfie you've taken on your phone, yes.
Yeah.
And you look nice in it. You're looking at the camera and that's great. But the background is very, very distracting. There's so much going on that isn't of any interest. It's not you.
Right.
Now, maybe guys contact you and say, why is there a microphone there?
They really do not look at that.
No.
Oh, they don't comment on it anyway.
No, because I always teach people to do that. Look in the background of pictures and comment on there. Or it would be about the, is it a frying pan or a, whatever it might be, it'll be
on
there.
I live in a studio flat, so everything is in one room.
Yes, but it is a selfie, and selfies aren't great. Because selfies make it look like you haven't got any friends, first of all.
Uh-huh,
that's the first thing. But I'm being overly critical on purpose here, just to let you know. And then we've got my next picture, which is, this is one of you and about 100 friends sitting in by a window.
Well, you see, I have friends, right? Because the first one you said I had no friends.
Yeah, but I can't even spot you in the picture, to be honest.
Oh, but they spot me in the first one.
But they won't have the patience to be going playing Where's Wally in this picture.
Okay.
Can you see? Because it doesn't really do anything. Now, it shows you've got friends, and that's lovely. But they might be thinking, well, who are these people? Do I have to hang out with these people all the rest of my life? It doesn't add any value. The focus for dating profile is you. Going back to the job profile again, you don't have a job profile and you start mentioning all the people that you work with. You don't do that. It's not really appropriate to have that. There is some talk that a picture of a few friends is okay, but I don't really agree with that. You are marketing yourself. It's an advert for you.
But hang on, didn't you just say in the first one, if a selfie is a bad idea because it shows that you have no friends?
It does. It's just
I have friends, that's bad?
It's not bad. It's just that you got about 10, 15 people in the picture. And I still can't find you. Which one's you? Which one is you?
But does it matter if there's, like, the rest are selfie? If there are selfies?
It does. Okay. I'll explain this to you in a second, how to improve that. Because that isn't the only picture you've got that's like that. There's another picture of you that seems to be lots of people sat together in a pub.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, it's probably the same night, I imagine, is it?
Oh, yeah, because look at my other girlfriends that have brown hair as well.
Yeah, I can see you now, which one you are. Mm-hmm. Now, that's great, but what if they prefer one of the other girls, for example?
Well, then I'll set them up.
You could do. And then, what I would comment on that picture is you've got about 100 glasses in front of you on the table.
Yeah.
And that looks like you've been drinking 100 drinks on there, which is, but never mind. It doesn't. It's like you're hiding almost your true self from this profile.
Okay.
By using pictures of groups to hide behind. And then we've got the picture.
But that's because I don't really do take pictures of myself. I don't like taking pictures of myself.
People don't. But then you've got another one, which is you and a horse.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You are about a seventh of the picture. The rest is the horse's head.
Yeah.
Now, so again, you're hiding behind that picture. It's not you.
Right.
It's not. Yeah. You see my point on that one?
Yeah.
There is a nice picture of you, which is outside.
Mm-hmm. That's the next one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's loading up again. I can see it over here. Is that a selfie again?
Yeah, that's in the park in lockdown.
Yeah, at least it's outdoors. Outdoors brings things alive a little bit because it's colourful, it's nice, it's bright. The only thing is, you aren't smiling in the same way that you're smiling in the indoor picture.
Okay.
I would say that's a false smile as opposed to the first one. Would you say that was a genuine smile?
Yeah.
Sometimes
I have a bit of a crooked smile like that. I don't know. I can't remember how I felt that, like, when I took the picture, but I was feeling good.
Okay. It doesn't come up. Yeah.
But if it comes across as fake, I'll take a note of that.
I think the first one looks more like a genuine smile because your eyes are sparkling in the first one.
Yeah.
And they look a bit more dead in this one. I say dead. Dead's an exaggeration, but you see, the first one, they come alive and there's a little twinkle in your eyes. This one, it's almost like maybe you're perfectly happy, but there's something, maybe you look a bit lonely. I don't know. I didn't mean lonely, but maybe you like to be with somebody. It's just the first one's got the cheeky sparkle. Okay. I like that one on that. Is that all you've got in terms of pictures?
No, and then there's another one. Oh, no, that's all. There's the last one with me and my girlfriend.
Oh, with the hats on.
Faces. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what's the point of that picture? To show that you've got a fun personality?
I guess, yeah.
But you've got hats on. So hats on. Hats on.
What?
You've got a hat on, first of all. Hats are never good.
Outside in the winter, yeah.
I know, but hats are never good because hats are a mask as well. They're covering up something. You're putting a really, really strange picture with your tongue out, which isn't the most attractive picture when it's a mark.
I get quite a lot of hits with this one. That's one of those where people actually like.
You would do, because it's the only one that really can start a conversation with. The other ones, no one could. How does someone start a conversation?
Well, I can tell you which ones the people like when I look
first
at my
one.
Hinge is, the first one where I'm in the studio with the background, and the second one where apparently I want to top myself off in the park, and then the last one with the hats on with my friend pulling our tongues out.
Yes, because when they start conversations with you based on those first two pictures, are they starting them off with generic things like you look really nice?
Yeah, or are they asking lovely you, smile, blah, blah, blah. That
yeah, that's all they can say. That's the reason why.
But the one with the tongue, I think, is when people click on it, because you know you have like the bars and it says we're about to go in to see Wanda Sykes. And so that's the prompt on it. And I know you can't see exactly send your screenshot. So but when you click on it, but Wanda Sykes, people who are into comedy, they react to that. They go, oh, yeah, Wanda Sykes. She's great.
I know Wanda Sykes is.
Yeah.
She's in Curb Your Enthusiasm quite a lot, isn't she?
I don't know, actually. I've never watched that show.
You must watch that show. It's fantastic.
I've heard about it, yeah.
You must watch it. But it's okay, but you've got your friend there. It's not the best picture, but it's still one that's going to start conversations. Because how do you start a conversation based on you and the horse or you and the picture of a massive group of friends? It's difficult, isn't it, to do that? Mm-hmm. The purpose of Hinge is to have each picture as some sort of ice-breaking conversation starter. So it could be you doing some sort of hobby. It could be you doing a sporting activity. It could be you just going for a nice walk, doing something strange, a nice item of jewellery. It doesn't matter what it is, or a prop, reading a book, your favourite book. Anything that gets the guy to think, well, okay, I'm going to start a conversation. What's that book? There's nothing much in this profile that can start conversations. Now, I could do it, because I'm trained, and I could pick things out in each picture if I really wanted to. But most guys don't really think, they're not that smart. But there's a bigger problem with this, though.
Yeah.
And that is your text you've got on here. Because you only get to have three little sections, don't you?
Yeah.
To have on here. And you've got on here, number one, an overshare. I fall asleep with my night socks and eye mask on.
Yeah, it gets a lot of response, actually, that one.
I'm sure it does, but what does it say about you? About what you're looking for? About what you want in a partner? What your personality is like? Absolutely nothing. So what you're going to get is random people who think you look nice, and that's not enough to make a connection, is it?
Okay, so what would you suggest?
I suggest that there's three sections you have on here. And the first one should be something like dating me is like as a prompt. And talk about you, who you're, what you like to date, your fun personality, what you like to do. And just write a bit more about something that makes you a bit more special.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, I like two truths and a lie, is quite good. So, because two truths and a lie, everyone loves that. It's a fun one. Men seem to love it more than women. But
you know what? I know people say that, and I was listening to like a dating podcast yesterday where they said that as well. I hate that one, the two truths and a lie.
It's usually, why is that?
Because it's very show-offy, very dumb. It's just like, it's very much like, oh, I had dinner with Bradley Cooper, or I was in a Bollywood movie, and I got arrested in when I was traveling. Like, I don't know. It's just, they're all like, there's always like a name drop or this. It just pisses me off. I'm like, just tell me which one. I don't think I've ever seen one that made me go, oh, that's interesting.
But it's not about that. It's about guys having a reason to contact you. You make it easy for them. So, for example, one of your things could be that I moved to Australia.
Yeah.
I once quit and moved to Australia. That's easy. That's number one straight away. You could put it into that. It's little things to make it show your personality a bit more. It doesn't need to be ridiculous things like, I dance with Gordon Ramsay or anything. It doesn't need to be that. If you have done, then wonderful, put that in.
Yeah.
But it's all easy. All you're doing is making it easier for the men to contact you. Just saying, like, the most spontaneous thing I've ever done is moving to Australia. How many men have started conversations with you based on that?
Yeah, they do actually. They always ask, oh, where did you go? Or, you know. But it's usually a bit of a boring one. I used to actually have a lot more because I've lived in 6 countries by myself. But I've stopped putting that on because then the conversation becomes all about that. So actually, I've scrubbed away a lot of information because I don't like it when the conversation is like all about me. I want to find it needs to be a bit more dynamic. So I don't even write my job anymore. I don't put down podcasts. I don't know. It's like, it's just because then it becomes like an interview. That's actually one of the questions, but I don't know. Like, I feel like too much is, I find it can be a bit in poor taste, and then the conversation becomes all about that. And I'm like, I'm not on here to talk about me. I'm here to actually find a connection. Does that make sense?
It does. Well, let's talk about the third prompt then. That needs to be about your connection, the person you want to meet. That's what it needs to be. You have got a bit in
here. What's the third prompt? Because people
it needs to be like someone I like to meet, for example.
Mm.
There's one. I feel safe and cherished. That's lovely. But what about the person?
Because people can't see it, what you see. So what James is referring to, like the third prompt is the way to win me over is, and then you can then fill out however you want to answer. And what I wrote is like, when I feel safe and cherished. And again, there used to be a really long list on there, and I just took it all off because it's embarrassing.
But it's not, it shouldn't be a list about all these things that how someone can impress you.
Yeah.
It should be a space to sort of, the first box is where you sell yourself.
Yeah.
The second one is some sort of interesting, fun conversation starter, like two truths and a lie. And the third thing should be about the person you want to meet. Why are you on the app in the first place? What sort of guy are you attracted to?
Mm.
That way, the trouble is at the moment, you are very anonymous on here, like you said.
Yeah.
And that's all very well, but that's the reason why you're getting just complete random people contacting you. Because that's all that's going to happen. How does someone really know if they're a match for you or not? They don't. Other than finding you attractive, how do they know if you've got similar interests, if you've similar values in life? And this is the way to just waste time if you don't put these things in here.
Yeah.
Because you need to sort of eliminate people as well.
No, it does make sense. I do agree with you that it doesn't really say much. And I know why. I think I've done that on purpose, and I'm definitely hiding a little bit, for sure. I don't like the attention on me. I mean, there's a reason why I do audio podcasts, you know, like, and people want to do like video podcasts. Like, that's a YouTube. I would like audio, you know. So yeah, I think you picked up on that. I didn't even realize I was doing this on here. I thought I was being mysterious.
16 years I've been doing this. I can spot someone that's hiding.
Yeah. So you mentioned. So you said like with the prompts, because obviously like Hinge gives you, I think, 3 prompts.
Yes.
So the first one would be about what dating you as a person is like. The
yes.
third one, like you suggest, like something like a conversation starter, like a true truth and a lie.
Yes.
And the third one, like the kind of person I want to meet. So, but what do you write in that bit, person I want to meet? Because, you know, decent, kind, like you think that would be like a no-brainer. But maybe you have to spell it out.
It helps, but they are very generic things because everyone says the same things. Just think really deeply, maybe 3 things that you really want in a partner. Maybe you want someone who wants to travel the world, for example, or somebody that wants to spend all afternoon drinking coffee with you, reading books, whatever it might be. You need to specify that. Something that's the most important 3 things for you, the absolute 3 deal breakers. But there's no point in writing, I want somebody fun and kind, because no one will say that they're not fun and no one will say that they're unkind.
Mm-hmm.
And loyal as well. No one's going to admit to being disloyal. Yeah. So think about it, be a bit more specific if you can.
Yeah. No, I think that's actually really good points. That's a good point. I was a bit annoyed at the beginning. I was like, wow, I didn't think you were going to like trash it that much. And then I was like, actually, he does fucking have a point. But I can't even be mad. No, that's good. That's good. I appreciate your honesty. Like, so in terms of like conversation starters, are there any other prompts then other than true truth and the lie that you've seen are good in Hinge?
Well, they do change them quite a lot on here.
Okay.
You have got the way to win me over, which is quite a good one, but it's not enough in it, really, at the moment. So that's quite a nice one.
I mean, the way to win me over, would it be... That would be to include stuff about the person I want to meet?
It could be, yes, it could. I tie it into that. But they... It doesn't matter what they are, but they're still the sort of 3 categories that I like. The middle one could be something funny if you want to, but it's got to count. It's got to still be valid. Just writing that I don't like aubergines... as someone else did that I coached recently, isn't really going to help you meet the perfect partner, is it?
Actually, now that you said that, how do you know if you're compatible? What is compatibility in your opinion?
It comes over time, really, because to start with, you've got things that you like doing and they've got things they like doing. Mm-hmm. And they've got their own patterns they've learnt by being on their own. When you come together, you learn new things and you compromise and you learn from each other and hopefully you move forward. That's what compatibility is. But there are other levels of compatibility as well. For example, I touched upon values and what's important to you in life, and also your life goals. If you want to have children tomorrow and they've got no intention of doing that, or you want to go and live in New York and they don't, that's not going to work either. So compatibility is on many different levels, but ultimately it's something that you have as you move forward, because you're always going to be growing as a couple.
Yeah, and I think there's this thing that that you said, like, you know, you both living 2 separate lives and then you meet, and I think that sometimes people put too many emphasis on, well, he needs to be, or she needs to be, you know, going to the gym, reading 10 books a week, and have a startup, and have a day job. You know what I mean? They have all these, like, tick boxes. Or they have to want to travel the world, or they have to do this and that. The thing is, like, sometimes 2 people, they come together, and then they actually expand together. Because,
yes.
Right? It's like, I feel sometimes, like, same thing with friends. There are, like, my friends are usually the ones who are organizing what we do. I'm not that kind of person. Like, I'm not like, oh, yeah, let's do this, let's do that. Like, I'm very lazy like that. But I'm very happy to go and try new stuff. So if it wasn't for my friends, or if it wasn't for, like, partners I've been with, there's loads of things I would not have done necessarily, because, you know, I'm really good at going away by myself on holiday, or traveling by myself, or starting into a new country, things like that that other people wouldn't necessarily do, but maybe they would with me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's not because you want to have a project and change people, but you can never assume that just because someone is set in a certain way, it doesn't mean they don't want to try something else. And then,
exactly.
So I think, like you said, compatibility is a bit deep. It's a bit different. It's a bit more subtle than that. And what the answer is, I actually do not know.
Yeah, well, it comes over time. That's what it is. Mm. And it's about realising that no one's perfect and you're going to evolve together as a couple. That's it. Because it's always a work in progress.
But you have a lot of people who are out there looking for the bigger, shiny object, right?
Oh, yes, all the time. Mm-hmm. They do. And women do that. They want someone over 6'3", or men want a supermodel. And you think, well, that's lovely. What do you have to offer?
Yeah.
Well, statistically, it's pretty impossible, isn't it? Because the amount of decent-looking guys who are that age and single, it's you're narrowing your chances. So just be realistic in life. Even if a guy's 5'9" and you're 5'4", do you really need to wear heels?
What I say, I think if you are a six foot woman, I understand you want a 6'3"
yes,
man.
I do.
And I feel like maybe we should leave those tall ones for the tall women because, yeah, like, I feel like I get it. Like, I don't necessarily want to be looking down on my men either. Mm. Not that it doesn't mean that it couldn't happen, but yeah, I think there's this part of us that want like to have someone that's a bit taller that. Protect that you feel a bit more, you know, protected, like on a physical level.
Yes.
You know, and so I understand that bit. But yeah, if you're 5'3", there's no reason why your requirement has to be 6 foot and above.
No,
you
know? I tell lots of people that as well.
Mm. To finish up on that bit, like about compatibility, and then we're gonna move into like scenarios I've found, like, you know, in Facebook groups online and stuff like that.
Okay.
For dating that I want to have your opinion on. Mm-hmm. Now that, you know, you said, like, you know, compatibility comes with time, like, you know, you build on something. So what is your opinion on how are you supposed to feel when you meet someone? Is it supposed to be sparks, neutral? Like, what is it? Because there's so many different school of thoughts out there around those.
Okay, well, life is not a Disney movie. It's not a rom-com. You're not going to have love at first sight, eyes across a crowded room. That's very unlikely. What you're going to feel if you like somebody, you're going to feel hopeful. You're going to feel excited. You're going to think, do you know what? There might just be something here. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. That's it. If there's no connection at all, you're not going to care. But that's all it is at the start, really. Because chemistry is an interesting thing. Chemistry doesn't happen when you first meet somebody. Chemistry happens afterwards. Because during a date or during a first meeting, you're both thinking about, what do I say next? Do they like me? Do I like them? But afterwards, you're thinking, oh, can't wait to see them again. Can't wait to introduce them to my family and friends. What's going to happen next? That's what chemistry is. The brain thinks about things afterwards. It does take a little while before you do start to get those feelings anyway. And it's always should be hope, always should be excitement.
I mean, I think some people, I mean, I have definitely felt chemistry on a first date. Mm-hmm. Not that because it was a good sign, just so you know.
Well, that can be lust, though, quite often.
Yeah, no, yeah, but that's what I think chemistry is that physical thing. Not talking about love, because that's not possible on the first date. You don't know the person. Like, what do you understand when I ask for chemistry? What is it that you, what's your definition of that?
Chemistry is that gut feeling this person's right for me. And you're going to be together. Lust is very common. It's this sort of magic essence of what you are as a couple. Lust is something that happens very, very often. But I work with lots of different high-end dating agencies, and I always tell people at the start, they're not going to have love at first sight, but they might get lust at first sight. But they paid a lot of money not to just have that. They need the whole bigger picture. Because spending thousands of pounds just having sex with somebody on the first night is a very expensive way of going about it. So I think.
So for you, when you say chemistry, you actually mean compatibility.
To some degree, yes, I do.
Yeah, because I think when I say chemistry, often it's just that lust thing that, you know, I do believe that people don't fall in love; they fall in lust first. You know, falling in love, I think, is what comes much, much later. You know, and I think especially if you know how to work on a relationship, that is something that you keep falling deeper with that person. The excitement or the unknown goes away on some level, but there are other ways to sort of, I think, cultivate that. Because I don't know if you, I mean, this is what I mean by this, is that, you know, I remember when I've been in like really meaningful relationship, there has been times where, you know, you obviously you're like, oh gosh, I can't, like, you know, you're just like, can't look at you, you're annoying me, you know. Or sometimes you feel like, oh my God, I love them so much, I can't imagine loving them anymore. And then all of a sudden, you know, like a few weeks later, you go, oh my God, like I love them even more today than I did last month. How is that even possible? Where is this all coming from?
Yeah.
So I think that whole falling in love that's advertised in the movies is very misleading. Because at the beginning, like you said, it's usually lust. If you feel that way, you think, you know, people think they're in love, they go, oh my God, he's my soulmate. It's like, no, you're just excited. Like, you know, he just knows how to charm you, or you just, you know, you're charming as well or whatever. But it comes with time. Like real love, it really comes, like it builds, is what you build.
I definitely agree with you. But what I try and teach people is to know when it is lust and then to slow things down.
because a lot of people do rush things very, very quickly. They've both got this immediate crazy chemistry and crazy connection. You both of them jump into bed. The chances of that carrying on into a long-term relationship, well, they absolutely can do, but you're much more likely to have a better long-term relationship if you hold out a bit longer.
So do you mean like to not have sex? Do you mean to not sleep with someone straight away?
Yes. I don't mean that's a great idea, but of course you can do that and then end up being together for 40 years. But generally, it's easier if you don't do that. And you wait for it and you get to know each other on all different levels first.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's just for some people it works that they don't get that. They don't get as confused when they sleep into bed very quickly. Yeah. And for others, they do. But I think, I think that there is also, I think there's been, you know, I don't know if there's been studies around this, but that, you know, because obviously the hormones that gets released, especially unfortunately for women, we build that artificial attachment that is not earned. You don't know the guy. And so you will bypass and overlook many red flags that a year later you can certainly see very well. So it's like, so that's, I think that's also why I think if you know who you are as a person, if you can have sex and not be attached, great for you, enjoy yourself. But if it's not the case, it's about being cognizant to that and make sure that you don't mess yourself up. And I think that's coming with self-awareness.
I agree with you completely.
So I want to ask about those like little online dating scenarios and stuff. So I have one, which I think is something that a lot of people come across. I got this one from this group. And so he writes, want to hang out sometime? Maybe dinner and drinks? ? Then she says, sure, that would be nice. And then he responds, when do you want to hang out? ? She goes, I'm off weekends. Then he goes, I'm off the next 2 weekends. Then she goes, cool. Plan something and let me know. Smiley face. That didn't go anywhere. Like, I mean, I can see where the effort comes in, but like, how do you get, because also there's lots of messages out there that, you know, women should not be saying, yes, you know, Friday at 6 p.m., well, let's go there for dinner or whatever. Like, what's your thought on that?
There's a very easy, simple solution to this that I recommend to bypass all this time wasting and to get on with it. If you were talking to somebody and it's gone well, ask to speak to them on the phone for a quick call. If they're not serious, they won't call you. If they're someone that's interested in getting to know you, they give you a call. You have a 10-minute call, and during that call, you can arrange the exact logistics of that date. Which Saturday, which time, which venue, look forward to meeting you, see you there. There's no reason to have ongoing correspondence or become pen pals with somebody over the dating app or texting on WhatsApp. Because people do this wrong all the time. Have that phone call. At least you can think, do I like the sound of this person? Are they okay? Are they fun? Are they even willing to call me? Because if they don't want to call you, are they really even going to turn up for this date?
Yeah, I agree so much with that. Like, that's actually one of my barriers of entry, because I feel like I need to protect myself. And I need to also, like, I don't have time to just go meet every Dick, John and Harry, you know, like, it's not going to happen. So usually, if all it is messaging and asking about my day, I stop responding. So I'm like, I can tell it's a time waster. That's how, maybe I'm too harsh, but I'm just like, I'm never going to meet that person.
Yeah.
But usually they're very quick. Guys, when they want to meet you, and maybe I'm generalizing here, but a guy actually, when he actually does want to go and meet women, he'll make it clear very quickly. He's not there to mess about either. He just want a pen pal.
No.
And so he always says, oh, you know, want to meet, how about coffee on Saturday? And I go, oh, that sounds really lovely. How about a quick call to see how we get on?
Yeah.
And then usually that always gets a yes. And then now the great thing with Hinge, you can call through the app, because I don't like giving out my number to strangers either. But so usually we try through the app, and if that doesn't work, then that, you know, we just call on the phone. But yeah, I think that's a great way. And it's like, usually, even if on the phone you need to check your diary, usually it's a couple of texts later you have a date set. But the whole thing going from the app to, hey, are you on WhatsApp? I don't do that. I'm like, yeah, that sounds great, but let's have a chat first.
Yeah.
I don't understand why I would want to go from there to another mode texting on WhatsApp.
I agree with you. People do it all the time, though, because they lose the safety, the privacy, the anonymous side of it, and they go onto WhatsApp. But you give out your number. If you're giving out your number, use it for the one purpose that it's set up for, which is to have a conversation, a quick call, and that's it. And then you can get on with meeting them.
Yeah, because then you end up, you know, and I think we've all been there, all of a sudden you're just on WhatsApp. And you're like, we're not even setting a plan. And it's like, it's boring. I don't want to tell you about my day. Over and over again.
Guys do that when they're dating lots of people at the same time. And they're not quite ready to sort of move you into position yet. That's why.
Yeah, move you into position.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I tell you what, I'll move them into the exit position.
Yes, kick them out.
So there you go, kick them out. So here's another scenario. This is a woman who wrote, there's this guy I met online. We have been talking for a few weeks, but he lives a few hours away. He mentions he wants to drive and meet me over the weekend, but he hasn't planned anything yet. So today he told me that tomorrow he's coming to work at a place which is 20-minute drive from where I live. He cannot come and see me because he's sharing the car with some co-workers, coming and leaving with them. So it's not his car. So he asked me if I would be okay to drive where he is so we could have a coffee at lunchtime. I'm really curious to see him, but if I go, is it desperate or too easy for him for me to make that journey? Should I say no or wait for him to make plans for the weekend and let him make the effort? Question mark. Thoughts?
Okay, well, normally the easy option is to say, forget him. He can't even bother to come and see you. He's coming down, expecting you to go and drive out of your way by 20 minutes. The reality is, though, that she knew that he lived miles and miles and miles away. So she knew that that was going to be a problem from the start. So is there really any potential they're going to be dating and how things are going to work in the long term? These are things you need to think about now. But for the sake of a 20-minute drive, at least she'll know, is there any attraction there by doing that? I think life's too short. Why not go and do it? What's the worst that's happened? You've lost an hour, you lost a coffee. At least you're not going to be sat around having a longer date with someone that you didn't like. So why not? Why not?
I guess it's like also like there's tons of information missing for me. It's like obviously I don't know what he is to do that to work. Maybe he doesn't actually have time to jump into an Uber and go and see her, you know, because that would be my first thought. It's like, oh, you know, but yeah, I feel like it's such a big waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that's how I feel. I'm like, and it's a lot of questions for someone you haven't met yet. Like there's too many question marks. Like you're giving yourself a headache. Like, why go? It's like almost like, why make it so hard, so much harder on yourself?
Yeah. But then she's curious about him and she'll always wonder what he was like if she didn't meet him. So I think why not go and do it and realise it's probably going to be a world of pain anyway, but go and do it. At least you're going to know.
True. You never know. You may suddenly feel like there is actually potential compatibility.
Yeah.
Or chemistry, like you say. Yeah, chemistry. And so who knows? Okay, so here's the second scenario. Okay, what do you do when a guy you met online and started talking with him and then he just stops messaging and things fizzle out? Sometimes after one or two dates, other times you didn't even meet. Do you let him stay in your dating app list or phone or just delete them? The reason I'm asking is because with me, they are either interested right off the bat or not. I don't want anyone coming back after weeks of silence because they were rejected elsewhere or don't have more options, etc. That goes back to your, like, put you into position comment.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that one?
I think dating is all about respect. If someone ghosts you and the conversation dries up, it's not going anywhere, there's just no point having them on your phone, having them on your app anymore. Get rid of them, move on, find someone that appreciates you more. Otherwise, what happened, they will come back in 2 or 3 weeks' time or a month's time because they're a bit bored and they will keep sort of keep you hanging there just in case they get a bit bored one day. And you deserve better than that. So no, kick him into touch. Goodbye.
That's it. And there's always a reason why people fizzle out. Like either he's met someone else or he's not interested in dating or he's just not into you.
Yep.
But either way, like I think if he was to ever come back, he'd have to actually give you a good reason. There have to be a reason because I guess, you know, we all, life happens. But I think for that, I'd be like, I wouldn't even be sweating it.
No.
I don't even give it a second thought. It's not worth your time and energy.
It's not. If people want to be with you, they'll make time. How hard is it? Is a quick text saying they're really busy? It's not hard, is it?
Exactly. Well, that's it. That's it. Well, exactly. Very good point. Okay, so I have another two scenarios. So one is short, one is a bit longer. So I'll start with the short. There was a screenshot attached to this one. She basically puts a question mark. What's the best response to this? No response. So basically, she's not really asking a question. She's basically saying, this is how you do it. And I actually agree with her. So I'm just going to read out the text. So they've never met before. Right before this, he suggested to go for a first date at her house. She suggested a bar around the neighborhood. he wasn't having it. And so she basically sort of like, you know, basically stopped responding. So here's the text. She says, her last text to him is, I think the bar would have wine. So obviously, I don't know what else was said before, but he probably has that. He probably wondered about the wine situation. I don't know. But her text is, I think the bar would have wine. Then his response is, lol, yeah, we would get more for our buck if we bought our own wine. And then he has like a lol emoji. And then she doesn't respond. And then he responds the next day, lol, I guess he got mad at my response. Lol face, lol emoji. I'm glad I didn't go to the bar and run up a tab with someone like you to begin with. Definitely not your average sucker. Enjoy your life, though. It's like, what? Okay, I want to have, like he's taking so many liberties, he's rude, and he's definitely not safe to meet.
Yeah.
But it goes to show, okay, I want to hear your thought about, like, going to a first date at her house.
Well, absolutely not. You never do that. Because mm-hmm. even if she really likes him, she's got no idea who he is. He could be a serial killer. And never allow someone to pick you up in a car either, or come anywhere near your address, or drop you off on a first date. You don't know who they are. But then put your safety at risk. It's not worth it. That's a major red flag. There's only one reason he wants to come around there, isn't there?
Yes.
And yeah, she was caught onto that. Not only
he
that...
wants to put her into several positions.
Several positions, absolutely. That's right, yeah. And she wasn't up for that. She wanted to go for a drink, and then he accused... Then he's too tight to even get her a glass of wine in a pub first.
Oh my God, that's
another major red flag. And then, of course, he got really rude. And then using all the lol emojis and all that sort of rude comments afterwards... Great.
Yeah.
She got rid of a loser. I think if I could report him to the site, I would do.
Oh, I would 100% too. Like, I think he's a stupid idiot. But yeah, I think but that goes to show, like, you know, when you actually start, and I know this may be going on a tangent, but you know, when you stand up for yourself, whether you're a man or a woman or otherwise, when you do what's best for you, it's not always going to feed into other people's agenda. It's not going to satisfy their agenda or curiosity. But guess what? So you have to really stand in your truth. And when you do things like that, people are going to, like, sometimes you get a backlash, you know, they're really going to, like, project on, like, what's the word I'm looking for? This cold is not doing me any favor. they're just going to spit venom back at you because they didn't get what they want. But that really shows you who they are and how you made she made the right decision. I'm also like, the first time at my house, no fucking way. Like, that's like, I get so mad at that. I don't even understand why they think it works for some. So
that's the thing. 1 in 100 will say yes, and therefore all they've got to do is find 100 women and one will say yes, and good luck to them.
Yeah, it's a numbers game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it shows that obviously it works at times, otherwise he wouldn't ask.
No.
So, okay, so this is the last, in terms of scenario, that I want to run by you. And then there'll be like a really quick round of questions, yes or no answers, practically.
Oh, okay.
So, okay, are you up for it?
I'm going to give
you the last scenario. Okay.
Go for it.
And also, as a premise, I do think that what I'm about to read has happened a lot more since all the lockdowns, because it's a virtual connection. Okay, so here it goes. So... I recently connected with a man who contacted me online. We haven't met yet. Do you see a pattern here?
Yes.
We haven't met yet, but I've seen hundreds of photos that he shared and with lots of mutual friends. So I'm guessing that's on Facebook. Anyway, we instantly hit it off and our phone conversations and message exchange have revealed so many facets in common. Although we haven't met, he seems genuine and deep-hearted. He says he's an open book and does seem to have character and true intelligence. He's already making hints about marriage and sending songs like I'll Never Find Another You and telling me how rare I am. We are planning to meet up soon. Yet, neither of us have texted for the past several days. We left things off sweetly, but I wonder if I was a little too forward in reciprocating from my heart, or perhaps he's drawing back because he has revealed so much. He joked about feeling bashful last time we chatted, and I know he's also busy at the moment. The last guy I dated, I didn't feel anxious at all, and we were very highly complimentary. I felt so much peace and wellness around him, but I felt bored at the lack of deeper emotional connection in a more conversational sense. I wanted someone who would recognize me on a deeper level, yet now that it's in front of me, I feel scared of rejection. There's been such a build-up, and we haven't met in person. It's like this took me completely by surprise. We both suddenly dived in deeply and then discovered there's a lot to process in our hearts. Any tips on how to navigate this without sabotaging myself? ? Okay, thoughts.
Okay, well, first of all, what's happened is they've both entered into a fantasy relationship here. The longer that a virtual correspondence carries on, the more chance it was never going to work out, because how can it? They've both created a fantasy version of each other in their heads of probably pure perfection. So in reality, they're probably going to get annoyed by their little flaws and idiosyncrasies. So it's unlikely. And why haven't they been in touch for a few days? Maybe he's love bombed her to some degree. That's a common thing as well when guys do that. They will tell a woman all wonderful things, seduce her. When they get them to a certain point, when they think they're in love with them, they just lose interest. And that's part of the game. So all I would do now, if she wants to sort of resurrect this, then just meet him. Get on with it. Why haven't you met yet? Get on with meeting him. At least you're going to know once and for all. If he's not interested, then you're going to know that as well. But never get into a situation when you're talking and talking and talking, never meeting, because you can never be who you really want to be in real life.
Yeah, and I feel, you know, I do feel for her, because I feel, you know, I think it's something that a lot of people do, and I've certainly been guilty of it, I'm pretty sure. You know, it's like that emotional, like you say, you're fantasizing. It's like emotional masturbation, basically.
Yes.
You know, like you're really not, you're not in reality. And I think she genuinely wants to meet someone good, and she wants to have a deep connection. So I think she's coming with, you know, from the right angle in that sense. You know, she knows what she's kind of looking for. But all, like, you know, when I'm reading it, I can hear several times she makes excuses for him. You know, I know he's also busy. I know he felt bashful. You know, it's like at the end of the day, the problem is, like, you know, with connecting virtually, it allows for really, and I'm going to have to explain this, but like cheap behavior, like in the sense that it is free to write, it's free to speak. Like, it's very free to run our mouth, by the way. Like, we could just talk, it's free. Any parrot can do that. So, but where are the actions, you know? Like, you're giving your heart to someone who hasn't earned it. Like, and not because you're entitled, but it really is like anything. It's like friendships. You build that relationship. You earn each other's trust over time. You know, that kind of stuff. Like, you, there is nothing like it. There's, so I feel like in a way, they're almost both red flags because she needs to know that this is not real, right?
Yes.
Like, if a guy said that about me, I'd be really worried. I'd be like, that's something, you know, it's about that self-awareness a little bit.
It is. She's so in love with the idea of being in love rather than being in love with him. That's the issue.
Yeah, because it's all in her head and in his head too. I mean, obviously, we don't have his side, right? So only hers. But yeah, I do feel it, because I understand the whole connecting. You know what I mean? When you feel you have a deep connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's actually, it's mentioned in white tantra. It's called white tantra. You have white tantra, red tantra, black tantra. And red tantra is the sex, when you include the body and the sexuality. Black tantra is when you include magic and things for not so good reasons. And then white tantra is, like, you know, the love of a nun towards Jesus or God. She's never met the guy, but she loves him, you know, nonetheless, right? In Catholic church, you get married to the fella. So, you know, they've never met him. So, like, there is such a thing as that soul-to-soul connection. But, like they say, like, love is not enough. I don't know what you think about that, like, that love is not enough.
I agree.
Just feeling.
Yeah. Mm. It needs more. It needs a basis of reality to it as well, doesn't it? That's what it needs. And a foundation. I want to marry this person. Why? You haven't met him. How do you know what he's like? You're just basing it on a fantasy, an ideal. You're making the world into a place that isn't anywhere real. So, no.
Exactly. And until you've been to a restaurant with someone, you just don't know, because they may be super rude with the waiter.
True, exactly. Or they could just be 10 minutes late, couldn't they?
Yeah. So I'm going to do a little quick round. How are you feeling? Are you up for it?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, so this is like a quick round of red flags or just yes or no. Like, I just want like a quick response.
Okay,
If, you know, obviously, if you want to expand, do. Yeah. But like, but it's like the idea is that they're just like a little quick. So, okay, so the first one is first date. So if it's a man and a woman, first date, who pays?
The man pays the first time round, because he's probably the most likely to have asked the woman out.
Yeah. I agree. Okay. Dating several people at once until you meet the one you want to commit to. Yes or no?
Absolutely yes.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us why? Because I know some people still feel triggered by that.
Because you wouldn't go for one job interview and then stop going for other jobs, would you? You keep going for job interviews until you get the job. So you have to have other options in case. So you're not sat around waiting for the first person to get back to you and putting all your hopes in one basket, as they say.
That's it. And you know, because you financially, you can't afford it. But yeah. When you're dating, time is finite.
Yes.
And actually, I think if that previous, you know, the longer scenario of the online connection, had she been dating other people, she wouldn't be sweating this as much.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And how do you avoid the first date? So this is actually a listener that sent me this question. How do you avoid a first date to sound like a job interview?
Don't ask boring questions about where you live, where you work and things like that. Just really think about passions and things you have to look forward to in the future. What make you interested in life? What are your dreams? How do you get on with your family? Think about happy, positive things and just make it into as much fun as you can.
So what would you have, like a couple of like template questions like to start people off? Because not everybody is like, you know, talks for a living or things like that. You know what I mean? Like Some people are genuinely really... you know, like get almost like stage fright when they go on a first date and just really don't know how to go about it.
Yeah, I've actually got a book called 101 Conversation Starters on Amazon that I've got on there. It's a free book. And that's
amazing.
Quite, you can go and find that on there. And that's about all these 101 questions you can ask. For example, there's a question there that says, would you rather lose an arm or would you rather lose a leg? So things like that, little things to get them started. And these have had great success.
I love those random questions. I do think they're really good. Do you have another one? Okay, just give us two more questions. That you
just ask them if they've ever seen a ghost. That's a funny thing to say as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I love that.
That's a good one.
I love that.
Or ask them if they could go anywhere in the world tomorrow, where would they go? Something like that. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, those are really good.
Yeah.
Because they're not direct questions, but you get a feel. It gives them an opportunity to reveal things about them that you can't really, you can't really ask. They'll volunteer it.
Yeah.
I love that.
And another one is, when you were younger, did you have a teddy bear? And do you still have it?
Answer is yes.
There you go.
But it's in the cupboard. It's just because my mum made it, so I have an attachment. It's an emotional attachment. So I'm like, I don't want to throw it.
A lot of people do. That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to ask it. Oh, do you know, maybe they should make that as a prompt on Hinge.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I should write to them and ask them. Okay, so I know I asked about, you know, who pays first. But let's say everything went well. Like the date was like, if you could put a number on it, it was a 10 out of 10. Can't wait to see him again. The bill arrives and he wants to split it.
That's a definite no. A definite no. Because if he's too tight to want to pay the bill, then how's he going to be the rest of the time you're dating him? That's a no. Right. Unfortunately, no. He's probably acting the whole way through it.
And you know, actually, I do have I don't know if it's a disclaimer, but you know, like, because I'm the same. I feel like first date, listen, if he wants to split it, I will. But like that has turned me off. Like it's just... Yeah. You know, the kitty cat has gone run away. So it's like, she's not interested. And it's just like, not that I would have done anything because he paid, but it's just like, it just dries you up is what I'm saying. It's just like, it's nothing more of a turn off. But the disclaimer is this, is that I do feel for men though, because I know some women and I have friends, female friends, who highly disagree with me on this. They would always split it. And I used to be that girl too. I used to be like, I'll split it until I woke up and realized, no. But it's like, so I think for men, it's a bit of a minefield. I think maybe some men, they may go, am I going to offend her if I want to pay for it? Because they think feminism is equal, that they're going to pay half.
Like, true.
I do understand that. So obviously it depends. If the guy is like, yeah, no, we split it. And actually you had two Coca-Cola and I only had one. So I want you to pay extra for that. Some people are like that, you know. Anyway, and they have like a spreadsheet ready. But then... That's different. That's so petty. Like, you know, if you even trying to divide how much you've eaten and how much I've eaten. But then if they go, I don't know, I feel like some of them may go, do you want to split it? Or I'm happy to get it. But if you want to split, I don't know. I don't know how, if I was a guy, I don't know what I would do.
It's very, I would never do that, to be honest. Because if it's a dinner, it's probably going to be a second date anyway. Because drinks are always good for a first date. Particularly if you're doing a lot of dating. Dinner on the second date. So the guy should know he's going to be paying for that. He should know that what the sort of prices are in that restaurant in advance.
That's it.
If it's a problem, he shouldn't take her there, go somewhere cheaper.
And he should offer to pay, but the woman should then offer to split it, but the guy should not accept it. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. If he wants you to pay it, it's his way of saying, I'm not interested in you. I don't see this going anywhere. And when I was single a long time ago, I used to know all the places that were happy hour in London. And I would go for all my dates around to save that problem. Because I knew I'd be buying most of the drinks and I'd be going around the places. So to do that, it never a problem at all.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I know sometimes guys that go, oh yeah, but if I have to pay for every first day, it's going to be so expensive. And I'm like, well, listen, you don't have to be dating me then. You don't have to be dating as much. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's obviously rubbish at dates, isn't it? If you go out on all these first dates all the time, if it's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere. Okay, and then the last one. So this is not a first date scenario, but it's like this is the first, you've had sex for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hear from him for 3 days.
Yeah.
What's that about? Yes or no?
Sometimes men do need a few days to process this and to go into their sort of man cave and think about what's happened. But despite that, they should still have some respect and make sure you're okay the next day. So if they don't contact you, it's a no anyway, regardless.
If they don't contact you at all, you say?
No, if they haven't contacted you by the next evening, then it's too late. No.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, it is so off-putting. Yes. It's not even funny. It's like, no way. I know some women have a lot more, a higher tolerance and patience, but for me, it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, no.
No, it's just rude again, isn't it? It's just completely rude.
It's, you know what? It's more than that. It's just highly insensitive.
Yes, it is.
Because you've been so vulnerable together.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a level of insensitivity. Like, even if you're not interested, you should want to just reach out, dude. Like, you know, it's just crazy. So, James, thank you so much. This has been like a really nice, I feel like we had a bit of a sparring of the mind. I think it's good to not always see things the same, but still agree on other things. And I really, really value your insight. It's been really interesting. And yeah, thank you so much. And so what I want to do next, I'm going to ask you the same two questions I ask all of my guests. I call them the finishing thoughts. So the first one is, what do you wish you'd realized at 18? But not on a cognitive level, but really on a cellular level, like really new, you know, like at 18.
Well, it sounds a bit weird, but I think I wish I knew how much power I really had within myself to do anything I wanted to do. My dad was always telling me that I could be anything I wanted to be. But if he'd have told me, an 18-year-old boy, that I was going to be a leading dating coach and have a wonderful life and a 5-bedroom house and all these things, then there's a lot of doubt would have gone away and my confidence would have been a lot stronger. And looking back on it as well, I wish I'd known that my memory was so good, because one of the things that held me back is I didn't think I was good at learning stuff, funnily enough. But I did learn when I was 21. I learned an entire box of Trivial Pursuit cards one day just to see if I could, and I could do it. And after that, I became an actor and learnt all these lines. And I wish I'd known I had the power to do that as well, because that's a great skill I wish I'd known for university, just to study and to do things a bit easier. But I didn't know it then. But I wish I'd be able to empower myself now.
Yeah, and I love those two things. Like, because like the last thing you said, like the brain does, because maybe when you were 16 or 14 or 12, you didn't have the attention that needed to be able to learn a whole deck of Trivial Pursuit, right?
Yes.
So you felt like maybe you weren't good at learning or remembering, but it's just that sometimes it's all about intent and focus. And so the brain is that, you know, it evolves and it's flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first thing was really interesting that you said, because I feel that I would flip it on its head, because maybe if you were confident and knew your power at 18, you may not have had the empathy required to do what you
That's
do
today. That's very true, yes.
Yeah, you can't put yourself in other people's shoes, because a lot of it, I think, is to deal with people's insecurity.
Yes. You have to go through these things yourself, don't you?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you picked up on mine under 2 seconds flat. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then I was like, oh, I can't even be mad. He's right.
No, you're right. Right? You're right.
So, you know, that becomes a superpower.
Yes. I became my own superpower.
That's it. Yeah, you thought was a limiting was actually, it can become a superpower.
Yeah.
Which you've shown. So that's brilliant. And so the second one is, what stuff do you not put up with anymore?
I don't put up people that waste my time.
That's what I do. I used to try and please people all the time and want people to like me. And if someone wastes my time and doesn't respect my time, goodbye. That's the end of it now. Mm. So many people want me, my family, my friends, my clients, that if someone's wasting my time, no. End of story. And they can go and find somebody else, to be honest.
That's it. And I think that's why it's so good to really surround yourself with people who actually do really want to spend time with you, make the effort and appreciate you. Because when we don't have that, that's when we go around and give people too many chances because we like them.
Yes.
And we feel we have a connection. And it's heartbreaking when you're like, well, I really enjoy spending time with my friend who I thought was a friend, but it's like I feel like I'm always having to beg to see them.
That's it. Yeah.
You know? And it's like, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, wait, that's not right. You know, and you have to almost be comfortable feeling lonely for a while until you start building up a proper circle. And you don't even need that many people. You just need like a handful. Like if you have 5 good people in your life, that's, you're rich. You know what I mean? Like that's already amazing. And then those will expand because good people know good people, right? So and all of a sudden you're like, you have a lovely group around you. And yeah, so I think that's a wonderful finishing thought. Thank you so much for that, James. I would love for you to tell us, where can people find you? How can they work with you? How can they find your books? I'm really loving just those 3 prompts that you gave us, and you have 101 or something. So yeah,
yes.
Give us all the good stuff. If you work online, you know, obviously, give us all the details.
Yes, well, you can find my website, which is www.jamespriest.com. That's P-R-E-E-C-E. And if you go on there, you can get my free book about how to find your soulmate. You can download that on the newsletter page. Or you can go to my Instagram, which is James Priest Coach. Follow me on there. Comment on my post and see what you think about that. Or you can, of course, go onto Amazon. And I've got 15 books on there of a wide variety of different topics. But the one that's free is The Dating Guru's 101 Conversation Starters. So have a look at that. And if you're interested in online dating, the one that's for that is called I Will Make You Click. And that's a bestseller on there. That was number 1 Amazon one. That came to top 50 of all the books on Amazon when I first launched that. So I'm very proud of that one. It's all about how to find love online.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for this, James. Thank you so, so much. You gave us so many good insights, tips, and food for thought. So I really, really appreciate you. Thank you so much for today, James.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Bye for now.
And that's our episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please don't forget to rate, review, share it, subscribe it on iTunes, follow it on Spotify or whichever platform you listen from. However you show love is how you can support this show. Drop me your questions or suggestions for future episodes via the website at angie-s.com or come and find me on Instagram at Tool for Dish It Podcast. See you next week. And until then,
ears and health, inappropriately.